Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good Friday morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I think I forgot the angels and saints. Anyway. Wonderful to have you here today because it's one of our favorite days on G's Power Hour. It is the third Friday of the month, and that means it's Friday in the Garden. And that means from Terry P. Luke Gardens here in Central Florida Live, we have Mr. Robert Bowden, Executive Director. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? I'm great. Third Friday is always great for me because I get a chance to talk with you. So what's going on?
There is a rattler in the house.
I hope that's a good way.
Of course.
Okay, all right. It took me a minute.
I know.
Yeah. I'm a bull.
That's okay.
So, yeah, anyway. how's it going? How are things at the gardens?
Oh, it is so beautiful out here. Don't repeat this, but I have to tell you, I feel a little guilty about taking my paycheck because I get to come to the most beautiful place in all of Central Florida every day. I get to talk to people from all over the world about gardening.
Mm-hmm.
I get to talk to people like you and your listeners. The weather this week has been amazing. So enjoy it because next week's going to be 98, I heard, so.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
It's everywhere you go in the garden, there's a different fragrance. And then you have to kind of find, it's like a scavenger hunt. You have to figure out where that smell is coming from. And the jasmines are blooming, the Chinese magnolias. We even have a palm that's in full blossom right now, and it's just an amazing fragrance. All the gardenias are blooming. It just never stops. So everywhere you go, things are green. The flowers are gorgeous. Get a nice little breeze today. So I almost hated to come inside, but, I'll stop everything to talk to you and your listeners.
You're sweet. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Yeah.
So... now, like you said, it is getting, well, it's already hot. It's getting hotter. And also, too, we've got hurricane season coming up, and there's already a couple of disturbances out there. So one of the things I guess I want to ask you, is this a time to be planting anything, and what can you plant that's going to be sturdy, I guess, throughout the season?
One of the easiest ways to decide what to plant in your garden in any kind of season when there's hurricanes is just kind of look around, see what other people are growing. If the hurricanes didn't like it, it would have been gone by now.
Okay.
Can I put you on mute? I'm going to go ahead and drink water, and I'll be right back, all right?
Okay, that's cool. That's cool, because I know you got a little
right,
tickle in your throat. Got a lot to
say,
too. So, yep, no problem. So, In fact, what we'll do, we're going to, while Robert's we'll take our early break, so when he comes back, he'll be ready to go and we'll be ready to listen. So this is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
You, your family, and your friends are invited to
Embrace Richland County Gospel Brunch,
Sunday, June 20th at 1 p.m. at the Wiley Kennedy Family Life Center, located at 1034 Eastman Street in Columbia, South Carolina. You can also enjoy it virtually via live stream. It's a great way to celebrate Father's Day with the family. Enjoy soul-stirring gospel music and on-site a mouth-watering brunch. For your safety, we will be adhering to COVID-19 protocols. Get your tickets before May 30th and they're only $15, $20 after that, or you can just simply buy a table. Tickets available only at Eventbrite. Sharing music selections will be international gospel star Luther Barnes and the Sunset Jubilaires, saxophonist Dante Lewis, and Jacqueline Kendrick Dance Ministry.
This powerful event is sponsored by the Wiley Kennedy Foundation
and the great folk at Richland County. You don't want to miss this fantastic celebration, so join us Sunday, June 20th at 1 p.m.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're here with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. And so, Robert, I need to ask you a question. Working around all of these different plants and shrubs and grasses and whatnot, do you have allergies at all to any of this stuff?
Nope.
Wow.
I spent all of my early years, I mean, from 6 months on, from what my mother told me, you know, we were outside. My dad was a scoutmaster, and, you know, we spent very, very little time indoors. So regardless of the season, you know, we were out there, and I've been very fortunate. I don't have any allergies at all. You know, I stay away from things that I know are going to be bad, you know, poison ivy and stuff like that. Because, you know, my father used to say, a good person learns from his mistakes, but a great person learns from somebody else's.
Ah.
And, yeah. Okay. So I had an next door neighbor who was a little crazy anyway, and he went to a doctor, and the doctor said that he wasn't allergic to poison ivy. So he wanted to make a statement, and he found some poison ivy, and he rolled around in it. Well, you know, you just don't tempt fate. And
no.
He got it so bad, he went to the hospital. So, you know, that's a good lesson that somebody else taught me. You know, there's some bad stuff out there. You just stay away from it. And some people are more allergic than others. I'm very fortunate. I haven't been allergic to anything. But, you know, there's a succulent called the pencil plant, and it's sold everywhere, and you see it all over the garden. That's one of the most poisonous plants that you can have. If you get any of that on your skin, or heaven forbid, you should get some on your hands and rub your eye. It's hospital time, and you may actually lose your sight. So, you know, just stay away from things. Like when the oak trees have all that pollen, I just try to stay inside as best I can. Or in this case, you know, in one way, COVID was a good thing because I had to wear a mask. And so you didn't get all that pollen in your nose. So you just have to be smart and don't plant those things you know you're allergic to. You know, people, there's no prettier plant in the fall than goldenrod. It's a beautiful native perennial that blooms year after year after year. The pollinators, the butterflies, the bees, they love this thing. And everybody gets allergies in the fall. And the only thing they see blooming, of course, is the goldenrod. And they just assume that's what it is. So goldenrod has a very bad reputation when, in fact, it's not. It doesn't cause allergens with anyone. It's ragweed, which grows right alongside. It doesn't really have a flower that you would notice, but it's ragweed that causes the allergies that we see in the fall, and not goldenrod, but the poor little goldenrod, it gets blamed for everything.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, that's, yep. I'm glad you cleared that up for us. So,
yeah.
So, anyway,
so you
want to
go back to the hurricane thing?
Yeah, I want to go back to, like, sturdy plants you know, what plants to plant that are going to be sturdy, you know, throughout not only just summer but hurricane season, too.
Sure. Well, the number one hurricane-tolerant plant would be the live oak. You know, when Lou Gardens, you know, 13 or 14 years ago, when we went through Hurricane Charlie, we had a tornado go through the gardens, and it took down 200 trees that were over 24 inches in diameter. That's a lot of trees. Not one of those was a live oak. They were laurel oaks, water oaks. And,
yeah.
You know, those kinds of things. Yep.
Yeah, I remember them saying that, you know, when people were like, well, these are oak trees. They're like, and that's the first time that I had, you know, came to my attention that, no, there's a difference between a live oak and a laurel oak.
Yeah.
And,
you know, live oaks can live to be 500 years old. So, I mean, and they're here. So, you know, they've developed this. They're very slow growing, and their wood is very, very dense. In fact, the USS Constitution, which has the nickname of Old Ironsides, had no iron on it whatsoever. It was made solely out of live oak trees, 2,300 of them, actually. And when that boat, that ship, got into the battle with the English, the cannonballs from the English ships were just bouncing off the side of the boat. And they couldn't believe it. You know, what kind of, this must be made of iron. There was no iron anywhere on the ship. It was the live oak. That's how dense it is. So clearly, it's a great plant to plant in the garden that would be hurricane proof. The only caution that I would say is that you need to plant other things too. So many people saw that we only lost laurel oaks and things like that. So they went ahead and planted live oak trees everywhere. Well, you know, we've learned from American chestnut and from the green ash up in the Northeast and the Midwest that, you know, when they planted in a monoculture, when you don't plant anything else except one species, one type of tree, then something bad is going to happen. And sure enough, you know, we lost all the American chestnuts and we lost all of the green ash trees because there was a bug that came in some packing material from China. So live oaks are very, very good, and they're very hurricane resistant, but you should be planting other things too. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but, and knock on wood, but, you know, we've been very lucky. And there hasn't been any diseases or pests that are specific to live oaks. But sooner or later, there's going to be something. There's going to be a bug, there's going to be a disease that's going to attack live oaks, because that's all people plant now. When you go into cityscapes, it's live oak everywhere, you know. And sooner or later, something's going to come along that we don't have a cure for, just like with the citrus, and we're going to be in deep trouble. So it's good to plant things like live oaks, but consider other native trees as well, like a winged elm or any of the maple trees. All do really well. The red maple, not only is it hurricane proof, but it also grows in areas where it's wet, and you can't find a lot of trees that do that. So, you know, if you have a wet spot, if you back up to an environmental area or a swamp, you know, taxodium or the pond cypress or the regular cypress and maple trees, they do exceptionally well where it's wet for some time of the year. So there's lots of things that are resistant and they're good hurricane trees, but we simply encourage people not to plant only one variety. You need to plant a few other things.
Okay.
Just in case. And in your bedding plants and your perennials, you know, they're all hurricane proof. You know, they're fairly inexpensive, and if a tree falls on them or whatever, it's not going to be a problem. Our soil is so well drained that they don't stand in water. So you can plant just about anything. Just make sure that if it's a sun plant, you put it in the sun. If it's shade, you put it in the shade. I planted, I don't know if you do this, and I probably shouldn't tell everyone listening my secret, but I go to Lowe's a lot, and I'll just drop in to see what they have on discount. And some stores discount more than others, but I check in there and see if there's something. I mean, it may look dead, but, you know, I bet you I can pay like 75 cents for that, and I can make that grow back. So that's what I did last weekend. I bought a whole slew of polka dot plants, hypoesters, but they come in white polka dots and pink polka dots and red polka dots. And it said part shade on the label. So I put them where they got sun in the morning, but deep shade in the afternoon. They were getting sunburn. The leaves actually got sunburned, so I had to dig them all up, and I must have had 50 of them. I had to dig them all up and put them in another part of the garden where it gets shade all the time. But that's how you learn, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I have rescued some plants from the Lowe's clearance rack myself. but the thing is, too, and that's a good way to learn. You know, because I've also had to send some to the plant graveyard that I just, you know, didn't do it right, or my problem was just, you know, getting caught up and not having time. And you really, if you, when it was really busy people, number one, you have to kind of, you know, put yourself on a schedule when it comes to taking care of plants. And then the other thing is that you might want to look at, you and something you mentioned were perennials. Okay. So what kind of perennials do you suggest for someone that wants to have a bit of greenery or color, but they don't have a lot of time to be a regular gardener?
Yeah, and that's the great thing about perennials. For the most part, they're trouble-free. You know, we have geraniums and we have marigolds and we have wishbone flowers, and, you know, they bloom a very long time, but sooner or later you're going to have to take them out and replant with something else. People should be planting all of their summer annuals right now. But while you're in the store, you should also be looking at perennials, those things that are permanent, and they come back year after year. So there's a long list. I'm very proud of a collection of plants. We have a short picket fence, and in front of that is a Florida version of an English garden. And there are many, many perennials that grow there that I planted 5 years ago, and we've never had to touch them since, so they don't require any care. You know, there's going to be a space or two from time to time, and that's where you want to just kind of put in some color here and there. But things like whirling butterflies or gara, they come in pink flowers and white flowers. You plant them, and you never, once they get established, you have to water them a while. But once they get established, they just keep coming back and keep coming back. And even though they're not a butterfly plant, they look like whirling butterflies. So that's a good one. Any of the porter weeds. Porter weed has tall, well, it depends on the plant. Some are only 18 inches tall and some are 8 feet tall. But they have flowers. There's dark blue or purple color. There are white forms, and there are salmon-colored forms. And it is the number one butterfly plant in our garden. Butterflies of all sorts. I mean, swallowtails to monarchs to skippers, they all go crazy over this plant. And like I said, they come in different colors, so that's a great one. Some of our annuals have become perennials because we haven't had cold weather in a while. So if you have coleus, now some people say, oh, I don't really like coleus. Let me tell you, there is a coleus out there for you somewhere that you'll enjoy. There's different leaf forms. Some are very, very serrated, and they're almost lacy. They look really pretty. Some are very broad. You know, some of their leaves are 4 inches wide and 6 inches long. It's one called Kong, as in King Kong, and they take full sun. There's some great, great varieties of coleus out there. And though they're sold as a bedding plant or as an annual, because we haven't had any cold winters, we've had coleus in the garden here for probably 4 or 5 years. So Orlando is pretty unique in that what is a bedding plant elsewhere becomes a perennial here. So that's three right off the bat that are really, really easy to grow, and they attract a lot of butterflies and pollinators. So it's a, like I said before, it's a great place to live. We have all these different things going on.
Wow. And we are fortunate, you know, because, you know, with other places, it's like you got to worry too much about being cold for long spells and stuff like that. So that's, it's great to have that. So now I wanted to ask about, again, just to address and just to get some clarification, I want to ask again about raised bedding, because it's about that time again where they're pushing the raised bedding. Are you in favor of raised bedding or not, or are there certain things that are good in raised beds that are not necessarily good on the ground and vice versa?
I think if you're just starting out, I think growing in the ground is a great idea.
Okay.
Because if you spend money to build a raised bed and then you fill it with potting soil, and it turns out that maybe you're not a gardener after all, then you're out a lot of money. You know, even the simplest of raised beds could cost you $100 just for the wood alone, and then you have to fill that up with potting soil, so that's another $100.
Mm-hmm.
So before you've even planted your first peanut seed, you're out $200.
Right.
And, you know, it looks real easy. I mean, the whole idea of my vegetable garden book, for instance, is to help people learn how to do it. So it's an easy thing to do. Growing vegetables is pretty easy if you follow the right steps. But if you, and I see this a lot, and I teach raised beds here at the gardens. We always have raised bed gardening class and vegetables for summer. We have those at the gardens all the time. You just have to go to Eventbrite and find out when those classes take place. But we really encourage people plant in the ground when they can. But sometimes you can't. Perfect example. About 10 years ago, we created a community garden in Paramore here in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And we really anticipated growing all of the food in the ground. It was an old site where there was a house, and the house and the city of Orlando tore it down. We assumed, you know, that the city would, you know, take all the stuff to the trash pile, when in fact what they did was bury it when they destroyed the house.
So when we
were there the weekend before to rototill it all in so we could, you know, plant vegetable beds, we discovered that there was concrete blocks and bricks and pieces of metal. So, you know, very, very quickly we realized that we aren't going to be able to put a vegetable garden in the ground here. So what's the alternative? Well, you just build a box and you fill it with dirt and you plant in there. And it works real easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so bad an investment if you know that it's something that you're going to stay with and you're going to be successful. Some people don't like to fail. You know, you can't win if you haven't failed at some point. And by the time you pay for the wood and the soil, it's kind of pricey. But who knows? Maybe in your site, you don't have enough sunlight in that particular part of the garden. Maybe you put that garden in the front yard. You know, we're allowed to do that now. We can have gardens, vegetable gardens in the front yard. So probably don't want to put them in the ground. It looks like a farm. But if you put in some nice raised beds, and we have examples of those on our website, if you want to go to lewgardens.org, that's O-R-G, there are examples of the different raised beds that we have growing here at the gardens. And they're super, super easy. And it tells you how much it costs to build it and how long it takes to build it. Maybe you just don't have enough sunlight in the backyard. You want to plant it in the front yard. We're allowed to do that now. But not everybody enjoys looking at another person's farm and their front yard. And that's what it looks like. I mean, you're going to stake mm-hmm. tomatoes and you're going to have rows of beans. Maybe not such a good idea if the next door neighbor really spends a lot of time grooming and pruning, fertilizing his grass. And, you know, farm may not be the best idea, but if you put in a raised bed, which is a little more architectural, then that would probably fly in a neighborhood. And so planting it in the front yard is a great idea. Maybe the backyard was the place where they worked on their cars. And, you know, there's battery acid or oil or something back there. You don't want to plant in that. You want to plant in a raised bed. So, you know, the con, the disappointing thing about raised beds is they're expensive to build. If mm-hmm. you know, though, if you know that you're going to be good at doing that, then the expense isn't that bad. But if you're just starting out and you're not sure whether or not this whole growing your own food thing is something that's going to be good for you, then it could cost you $200 to find that out.
So, okay.
The other thing, and this is what I've experienced in my own vegetable garden, is competition for water and nutrients from other plants. I had a beautiful vegetable garden all planned out. It was planted, and for the first 15 years I lived in the house, it was very successful. But what happened over the years is that my children love planting acorns. And sure enough, this huge oak tree grew on the north side of the garden between my vegetable garden and the pool. And
yeah,
it was their tree. They planted it. So, of course, Daddy couldn't tear it down. So we had to keep it up. Well, over the years, it's now grown to 24 inches in diameter. It's a huge tree.
Yeah.
It has lots of little roots. And they go right out into where the vegetable garden is. So...
And it doesn't take much.
I had to take the tree out.
Because I couldn't
take a trowel and dig a hole for my eggplants. It did,
right.
There were all these little fine roots in the tree.
Right.
So when you put in a raised bed and fill it with dirt, there are no roots of trees to compete with it. And I'll tell you, it makes the most beautiful, easy-to-maintain garden you have ever seen. I planted one, created one at my house, and my wife wanted oregano and parsley and scallions and thyme, you know, all of those little things that she uses when she cooks. And I put it in this raised bed. This raised bed cost you about $30. And you buy two pieces of wood, you cut them in half, and you buy these special little concrete blocks that accept that wood. You fill it up with three bags of dirt. In 15 minutes and $30 later, you've created a raised bed. And I put parsley and thyme. There's celery in there. There's rosemary in there. There's some small pot tomatoes in there, little cherry tomatoes. And I can tell you, much as I hate to admit it, it's probably the best herb garden I've ever built because it doesn't compete with the roots of the oak tree. And it has its own little 4x4 spot to grow in. And it is an amazing thing. So, you know, the downside of raised beds is the cost. It's going to be expensive. The plus side is that you can plant it in contaminated soil. You can plant it in the front yard so it looks a little better. You can grow it right outside your door and grow a little kitchen garden. So there's pros and cons both ways, but if anyone was interested in growing herbs and maybe a few bush beans and things like that, I can support that, and I'd be glad to help you start it because they're so easy to grow.
Sounds good. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Luke Gardens here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arclitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. It's Friday in the Garden here on G's Power Hour, the third Friday of each month, and we're here with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. And I wanted to ask you about something that you all had going on, and I forgot to ask you about this last month ahead of time. You guys have an alphabet plant scavenger hunt going on?
Yeah.
Through the end of the month?
It's an event that occurs through the end of July or end of June.
Oh, okay.
And, there's 26 letters in the alphabet, and we have taken all 26 letters and scattered them throughout the gardens. So it's become a plant name alphabet scavenger hunt. So we give you a map when you enter the garden, and you go to all the different locations and check off all the letters that you found. So just as an example, right outside the vegetable garden that was in this morning, I was pulling up all my bush beans, getting ready to plant my zipper creams and my summer peas, Crowder peas. Right next to the garden is an avocado tree. So there's a big A underneath that plant. And the young people check that off. And then they, let's go see where B is, and so on and so on. So there's 26 locations throughout the garden. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a great way to spend a day instead of sitting and watching the TV, or maybe it's just too hot outside. You can always come to the garden where it's shady in most spots and beautiful outside. Temperatures are wonderful. And just enjoy being outside. We have lots of birds this time of year, so you'll be able to see a lot of those too. So it's a great time to visit the gardens, and that scavenger hunt goes through the end of June. And then we've heard sort of through the grapevine, because we really have no way of knowing this, but we think and we're pretty sure that the fairies are coming back. You know, we've had fairies visit the gardens from time to time over the last 3 or 4 years, and we don't know where they come from or where they go, but it seems like every summer a group of about 20 or so fairies show up at the gardens and spend the summer months in Orlando with us. So again, we have a map, or we'll have a map when they show up, where all of these different fairy doors are going to be, and it's a scavenger hunt too. And then every fairy that you find, if you turn the page over, it talks about the fairy, what that fairy does. Is it a good guy or a bad guy, or not a bad guy? Let's say mischievous guy. Loves to get in trouble all the time, you know? And so that's another thing that you can hunt for while you're at the gardens. So, and we think that, you know, they usually show up around the 1st of July and go most of the summer. So hopefully, and we'll certainly let everybody know, when that happens, we'll put it on our Facebook and on our website. But we're hoping that they come back, but we're not 100% sure, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, have that to look forward to. Oh, and by the way, I want to tell everybody that scavenger hunt map is actually on your website, too.
Yes,
I found that on the website. So, yeah,
yep.
You can grab
Yeah, you can print it, or you can simply download it to your cell phone and or iPad, and you can walk around the gardens and find all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So now, okay, another thing that's coming up, and I know we're going to have another show before then, but, yeah, I don't want to wait till the last minute. You know, we got Father's Day coming up next month. So what kind of things can we put in the gardening tool belt for dear old dad?
Mother's Day is pure.
We miss Mom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pure chaos, I'm telling you. There isn't a better place on the planet to take Mom on Mother's Day than Lou Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plenty of flowers. We have things to do for moms, and they got in for free. Well, we do the same thing for dads.
Okay.
But I gotta tell you, it's not nearly as popular as Mother's Day. Dads, I think, would be perfectly happy just sitting in a recliner in front of the TV. But there are some, like me, who really enjoy gardens and looking at the flowers and the different textures and forms of the plants. And I like watching birds and especially love watching the butterflies. So it may not seem like it's something that your dad might do, but in reality, I think in deep down inside, they'd really enjoy coming, and I think they'd have a good day. It's just absolutely beautiful this time of year, and everything is in full bloom. You know, we have a lot of tropical plants that love this heat, so things like lobster claws and some of the different flowering vines, they're all there, and we're in close proximity to many really nice restaurants that are available over in Audubon Park. So maybe you take Dad to breakfast and then you take him to the gardens. I don't know of any dad that wouldn't enjoy doing something like that.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Right.
I would. Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Oh, goodness gracious. So, yeah, I was just thinking because I know that, you know, yeah, a lot of dads just want to kind of chill and be comfortable, but some dads kind of want to get out. And then also, too, I was just thinking that, like, they may have some tools and stuff that need to be replaced, you know, and they're using the same stuff over and over and over again. And that's why I was kind of curious in terms of some things that would be good for replacing. I know one thing that you've talked about in the past is having a good set of lopping shears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were so thoughtful. You know, one of the great things about gardening for guys, well, it's true for girls too, but especially with the guys, there's so many gadgets that you can buy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's this never-ending supply of things that you can put in a drawer or hang on your wall in the garage or in your garden shed. There's so many fun things that you can get. And the longer you garden, the more you need some of this stuff. Not really, but you think you do, you know? So, lopping shears. What a great idea. You know, you don't want to cut limbs with your hand pruners, especially if they're more than a half inch in diameter. Number one, you could hurt the break the hand pruners, but what about your poor hand and forearm trying to cut these branches? You know, there's no leverage there, so a good pair of lopping shears would be great. We really like the Corona brand of outdoor gardening equipment. I know Fiskars does make a line of outdoor tools, but I got to tell you, they're just not built very well, mm-hmm. and they don't last very long. But anytime you get something from Corona or some of the other big names, you can't go wrong. And again, some of this stuff is kind of expensive, but like a pair of hand clippers, perfect example. We buy Felco, F-E-L-C-O. That's what we use in the gardens. I've always used them, and they have a variety of different sizes and styles depending on how you plan to use them and how big your hands are. So I have a little snub nose that gets into small little places, and it doesn't open up as far as some of the others, so you don't have to, you know, reach to close it. And they're, of course, they're razor sharp. And to that end, you want to keep them nice and sharp. We've got this most amazing blade sharpening device available in the gift shop. It's green and has a little grinding pad on it, and you use that to sharpen your hand clippers so they remain razor sharp. And that'd be a great present for Dad. And
cool.
Hand clippers themselves, you know, mm-hmm. You can go to all the stores and you can get some cheap ones.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be throwing those away after a while because, you know, they don't stay sharp very long.
Right.
At least the inexpensive ones. And then you end up throwing them away. So
mm-hmm.
I know it probably seems like a lot of money, but if you
mm-hmm.
were to spend $50 or $60 on a pair of hand clippers, I know it seems like a lot, but
mm-hmm.
I've got hand clippers and a little holster that I put it in and I keep it on my belt when I'm out in the yard. Those are probably 40 years old at this point. And all I have to do is sharpen that blade from time to time, and it still works like it did when it came right out of the package. And those are by Felco. And Corona makes some as well. But don't go by price. You go by the ones that, you know, you talk to other gardeners, which do you recommend? And we can certainly recommend Felco for the pruners. So there's just lots and lots of. We go to, there is an amazing gardening catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Gardener's Supply. Gardener's Supply.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. In fact, I think I have that bookmarked in one of my categories. Yeah. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
That is a cool place to go. They don't sell seed. They don't sell plants, but they sell the stuff to support them and help them grow better. And it's extraordinary. It's so fun to just flip the page. And you can't just scan it and move on. I mean, you've got to look at every picture and every description and tell yourself, yeah, I need one of those. So I'm going to order that today. And I know sometimes it seems like a small thing, but if it makes Dad just a little more comfortable, why not? It's good. It's a good plan. So a lot of good gardening tools.
Yeah.
A lot of good tools out there for Dad available at Gardener's Supply.
Okay. Well, when we come back, I want to ask you what you're cooking, Robert, because I know, you know, you kind of have to do that seasonal thing with the, you know, with the plants. So, what are you cooking out of your garden? That's what I want to know. So, when we come back, we're going to talk about that. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Jim Garris, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on K-Ham Radio.
Are you sure? This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. Just want to let you know that on Monday, we're going to start a half hour early because we're going to talk with some about a variety of things with civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson of Anderson & Welsh. He's coming back, and we're going to talk a little bit about some cases that are taking center stage right now. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about body cam, and we're going to talk about the anti-protest law that's in Florida right now. So make sure you join us early Monday at 11. We're going to talk about that then. In the meantime, we're back with Robert Bouton of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. And so, Robert, come on, give us a good recipe now, because I know you're cooking up something.
Okay. Before I came on the air, I was in the vegetable garden here at Lou Gardens, harvesting collard greens.
Okay.
All right. I love
Watch it now.
Collard greens. So I have an assistant that works with us here at the gardens, and she's from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if this is family recipe, but I've got this Jamaican-style collard greens. And it is so good. And, yeah, there are habanero peppers in it. But instead of one whole pepper, maybe put in a quarter of a pepper or half a pepper. You don't need to necessarily go full bore, you know. But you gather about 2 pounds. So what would that be? Probably two, maybe three. Or one or two bunches of collards from the farmer's market. And you chop up some fine onions. Calls for one habanero pepper, so you take the stem off and you take the seeds out, because it turns out that the seed and that membrane that's in the peppers is what causes the heat. So you make sure all the seeds are... And this is a really fun thing. They use 1/8 of a teaspoon of allspice in this recipe. Yeah. Never heard of that. And I use that, and it also calls for salt and pepper, of course. And then lemon juice, 2 teaspoons of lemon juice. But I'm a big fan of lime juice. And you go to the store, and they have this lime juice. It's a key lime juice. And it's a little tart and a little more powerful than the standard lemon juice. But I use the lemon juice and with the allspice and with that water, a quarter of a cup, you cook it for a while. And let everything kind of all get together. And then, of course, you have cornbread to dunk in that pot liquor, all that green stuff at the bottom. And you know what I discovered? I did discover a more healthy recipe for this, especially for the cornbread. So everybody makes regular cornbread, you know, and that's good for you, a lot of, but I discovered that if you, you know, put a couple of handfuls of fried pork rinds in there, that makes it super healthy for you. Do you know that?
Okay. All right. You say so.
There's nothing like putting some fried pork rinds in some regular cornbread, and then you got that crackling cornbread. And... You use that to sop up the green juice in the bottom of the pot while you're eating your collards. And you know what? That just makes the perfect day. You know, you're sitting outside at the picnic table watching the birds, or you're on your front porch, or you're in your kitchen with your mom or your grandma, and you're eating collards and crackling cornbread. I don't know that it can get better than that. That's just heaven on earth right there.
And you're making me hungry, but okay.
Yeah. So, you just need a little bit of lime juice and allspice and some onions and a little jalapeno, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, because I didn't realize that allspice was a key ingredient in some jerk recipes. And so, I ran out and got me some allspice when they had the sale on the spices, I'm learning a little bit more about my spices.
And have you seen how much oxtail costs now?
Oh, shoot!
It's through the roof.
It's crazy.
They would almost pay you to take the oxtail because they couldn't get rid of it. But now, I mean, you look at oxtail in the store, you can't, it's like filet mignon. You can't afford to buy it anymore.
Yeah, and I love oxtail. I mean, I've cut back on some of my beef eating, but oxtail's not one of those things that I just refuse to cut back on. It's a delicacy now.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah. You have to take a second mortgage out on your house.
You are so right. Oh, my goodness gracious. But, I'm going to have to get off the air quick because I haven't eaten lunch. You're making me really, really hungry. But I do have some cornbread.
And
I made some homemade cornbread the other day with some cream corn in it. So I'm tired. I was already thinking about having that for lunch.
And let's not forget about some Roselle tea. You know, you put that in the refrigerator, make it nice and cold, and put some ice cubes in that, and a little, you know, strictly for health reasons, you know, medical reasons, you might want to put a little bit of good Jamaican rum in there with that Roselle, and you have that and some collard greens. I don't know if it can get better than that.
Okay. Well, see, I got some mango tea. That's what I have.
Oh. I can't afford mangoes.
Every now and then you have to treat yourself. You know that, right?
you know I'm going to stop at a store now, don't you?
I don't know if I'll be able to do the store tonight, but it is definitely on my schedule this weekend, probably early
You're
tomorrow.
Killing me
for
here.
Sure.
You're killing me here.
Yeah. Robert, thanks so much. Really always a pleasure to have you on. And you know, you take care of yourself and your family. You have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Well, have a great weekend. And everyone stay safe. And don't forget, we're here for you. Beautiful little garden.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm going to stop over there soon. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye
and thank
now.
Thank you all for listening. Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, Monday at 11 instead of 11:30. And we're good for an hour and a half on Monday to talk with civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had as good entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Give up the high praise. Come on, thank you. Give up the high praise. Come on, thank you. Give up the high praise. Come on, thank you. Give up the high praise. beat in here. Woo!